The first openly transgender person nominated for an Emmy Award is coming to Fayetteville. Known for her role as Sophia on the Netflix series Orange is the New Black, actress Laverne Cox will speak at 7 p.m. October 3rd at the Fayetteville Town Center. That's Wednesday night. It's part of the University of Arkansas's Distinguished Lecture Series. Cox co-produced the documentary Free Cece, which will be screened October 4th, Thursday night, at the U of A School of Law. The film tells the story of Cece McDonald, a trans woman who is incarcerated after fighting an attacker and killing him. Last week, two people helping organize the screening came to the Carver Center for Public Radio to discuss the event with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. Joe Hsu and Valandra are assistant professors in the English department and the School of Social Work, respectively, and are participants in the University of Arkansas's LGBTQ+ faculty staff student mentoring program, an initiative Valandra says is much needed.
It's important to have a faculty and mentoring program, LGBTQ mentoring program on campus. And I think it's even more important when you are at a predominantly white institution to have visible LGBTQ individuals of color. Really visible. And I think that's the primary reason why when Michelle reached out to me, I said yes, because faculty of color are taxed in many different ways on campus, but this is one area that I felt that it needs to rise to the top in terms of making sure that students and other faculty and staff know that there are, and I'll just use the umbrella term, queer faculty of color on campus who are visible, who are out, and can be an ally, a support. And so that's why I got involved, and that's why I stay involved.
Yeah. So similarly, I guess I'll start with a little bit of the personal. I'm queer and trans and a person of color, and so the sort of line you hear from a lot of people with that sort of positionality is that I never imagined myself as a professor. That was just not on my horizon of possibility, and I never really saw anybody in that position who sort of like moved like me, spoke like me, had similar histories. And so in order to actually genuinely make academic spaces more inclusive, like spaces of possibility for people who usually come from the margins, you need to be able to like put that in their narrative, you know, that it's possible mm-hmm. to be part of the professoriate, part of the administration, that those people will be thinking about your experiences and your needs. So yeah, I mean, I agree with Valandra that faculty of color, just by nature of being a minority on campus, are disproportionately taxed in that, you know, if you want someone to do something with your expertise, usually you're the person who has to do it. Mm-hmm. But this did seem like a very important event in order to sort of, especially at a historically white institution, in order to be able to say, this is a space that is thinking about you as a population, mm-hmm. That is willing to create room for your experiences to be heard, to be spoken to be addressed. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's how I got involved.
So the Free Cece documentary screening and panel discussion is kind of in conjunction with the Distinguished Lecture Series presentation with Laverne Cox. And before we started recording, you were telling me that this was kind of an accident. So can mm-hmm. you kind of tell us mm-hmm. how this came to be? It was something that was in the works already, and then mm-hmm. timing worked out.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I can speak to that a bit in the sense that when the librarian, Miriam, sent out an email to the LGBTQ faculty listserv, and said, you know, this documentary is out. Are we interested in it? Should we try to get it? I piped up immediately and said, yes, I think so. We should get it. And not only should we get it, we should invite Laverne Cox to come and speak about it along with Cece. And then we started adding names, people that we thought would be important to also let them know about it. And Dr. Murphy Irby, who was the chancellor of the Office of Diversity and Inclusion, invited us to come to one of their meetings to talk about it. So we went to that meeting and spoke about our plans to do the documentary, to get the documentary, to invite Cece McDonald and Laverne Cox to come, since Laverne was also one of the co-producers of it. And that's when someone in the room said, well, Laverne Cox has already been invited by the students to be the distinguished lecturer this year, this fall. So we then went back and started looking at dates and looking at there was a way that we could make, we could join the two. Long story short, we decided that we worked it out so that we could plan the screening and the panel for the day after, and that Laverne would plug it at her at the distinguished lecture presentation on the 3rd as well.
You were discussing about the importance of the mentorship program in letting students know that there is a space for them. How did it make you feel to be in that room and hear that the students had invited Laverne Cox and they were, you know, telling other students that there's a space for them?
I was thrilled.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. I actually didn't know that part of the story. but it is, when I saw that email, I mean, one, I was really heartened that this was a conversation that was happening and that mm-hmm. somebody had, you know, gone to look up the documentary and how we could get that here. But also it was critically important to me that we would have trans people of color mm-hmm. speaking about this documentary, and it wouldn't just be a panel of white folks telling us about how mm-hmm. the people of color experience the world. Mm-hmm. And so it came together sort of beautifully in that mm-hmm. Laverne Cox had already been invited, and we managed to get Cece McDonald on board. And then I found out through some local trans organizations that Miss Major Griffin Gracie, who's a Stonewall veteran, sort of a mentor to Cece McDonald. She's been very involved in the trans and queer of color community, has been, you know, a tremendous sort of elder in that space and building space and opportunities for particularly queer women of color. She's located in Little Rock now. And yeah, so I found that out and was like, well, how do we get her here? You know, that's so close. And so it all came together really wonderfully after all that.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, who is Cece McDonald?
Well, Cece McDonald is a trans woman of color from Minneapolis, Minnesota, who was minding her own business one day, walking down the street with some of her friends, and she was attacked by some individuals coming out of a bar, and they were using homophobic, transphobic, racial
slurs,
yes, and attacked her, and she defended herself and was charged with manslaughter and incarcerated in a men's prison in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And you were living there at the time that this happened. What was the situation?
I was living there at the time. I think it was a couple of years before I moved to Arkansas. And really, one of the things that I was really impressed with immediately, there is a large LGBTQ community in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and there are institutions and organizations that really do a lot of outreach. And immediately we all came together and started rallying behind her and supporting her. And we did rallies, we did petitions, you know, to get her released. We talked with the media about the way they demonized her and framed her. And I remember particularly in one of the stories, you know, they put very, very much emphasis on referring to her as he. And we saw that as an act of violence. And so a lot of different stakeholder groups joined forces to get legal representation for her and to just really raise awareness about the injustice. And it was a couple of years before I moved to Arkansas.
And so does the documentary focus on Cece's time in jail, or?
It focuses on her. There's an interview with her while she's still incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And then also there's some interviews with different stakeholder groups that were part of raising awareness about this and fighting for justice. There's a couple of interviews with lawyers who were involved in her case as well. So it's done very well, I believe.
And so Cece will be here as part of the panel discussion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And who are some of the other people who we've mentioned a few that will also be on the panel?
Right. So it'll be Cece McDonald herself, as well as Miss Major Griffin Gracie. And then there will be Diego Barrera, who is local. He started Intransitive, which is a local trans organization. And he's also involved with Song, Southerners on New Ground. It's based on in Atlanta, but also a very active trans and queer justice organization in the South. And then there's also going to be Jordan Blair Woods, who's a professor at the U of A School of Law, and his work focuses on is particularly how LGBTQ people encounter the legal system and how it's structured in ways that make them particularly vulnerable to certain experiences.
And so how is this event going to be set up? Are you going to screen the documentary first and then have the discussion?
I do believe that that's the way plan. It is. Yes, that's the plan.
And okay. There'll be food.
And there'll
too.
Be food, too.
Food is perfect. Yes. And it will be moderated?
Yes. Yes. That will be me.
And okay. I will be moderating.
Yeah.
So how have you been preparing to moderate?
Well, so I got the opportunity to see the documentary beforehand and have watched it several times. Already my research sort of took me to the experiences of queer people of color in particularly the criminal legal system. So I'm already very familiar with sort of not only Cece McDonald's story, but also, as Wilandra was talking about, the way that defense campaigns for particularly trans folks of color have worked is that they've been these powerful sort of grassroots, ground up sort of storytelling projects where they literally have to change the narrative, right? Because these folks are being misgendered, they're being dead named, they're being criminalized.
I'm sorry, what is dead named?
Oh, so a dead name is when someone intentionally uses the name assigned at birth for a trans person, which is damaging in many ways, actually, beyond being sort of like erasing their ability to name themselves and their own humanity. It also, in criminal legal cases, makes it hard to actually investigate that circumstance, right? If you think about interviewing witnesses and you're describing someone as a man who presents as a woman or using a name that makes you think of a man when she's actually a woman, it really screws up the details of that investigation, you know? So I've been already looking into that sort of stuff, so it became... this became just a really wonderful opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with these folks who I really admire and who've been doing really tremendous work in the community.
Mm-hmm. And is it open to anybody in the community or is it directed towards the U of A community?
We're actually really hoping that, you know, a bunch of people from outside the university will also come in.
Yeah, yeah, it's open to the whole public.
Oh, good.
To the public, yeah.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
Well, what are you hoping that people will take away from this conversation? It's still a relatively new conversation, I think it's fair to say, at least in the public sphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so if I may, for me, what's really powerful about particularly the storytelling that comes from trans of color communities is that they've had to organize in ways that draw attention to systems of violence, to how structures and policies that are in place make them particularly vulnerable to instances of injustice, but also affect a lot of other people, right? Mm-hmm. So it is not just trans women of color who are targeted, but, you know, people of color in general or women in general, right, who might experience these forms of race-based or gender-based discrimination. It just gets compounded on people who occupy literally the intersections of those identities. Mm-hmm. So I hope... by allowing these folks to really tell their stories and by bringing them out into a more public platform, we can sort of begin to draw connections between and among our experiences and how we are all sort of placed within these systems, these cultural expectations, these organizations, in ways that we see on the news all the time, right? Sort of race-based violence, gender-based violence. And we can see that we are all part of this network, and that those who are most vulnerable to the injustices that happen in these systems have particular insights into the ways that these systems work and also how they might be changed or reimagined in ways that create a genuinely more inclusive way of being together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with what Joe is saying and maybe in the most simplest terms I can think of, say that what I hope people walk away with is that they really see how their own liberation and justice is tied and connected to everyone's, and that it is not up, it's not just up to LGBTQ or transgender women of color to change this system, that we all have a responsibility and to act in ways that change the injustices that people experience.
Well, I very much appreciate you guys coming in and telling your story and about the event, and I hope it goes well.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Joe Shue and Valandra, assistant professors at the University of Arkansas, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda last week. A screening of the documentary Free CeCe is scheduled for 5:30 Thursday at the University of Arkansas School of Law. The film screening will be followed by a panel discussion, a reception with panelists, and a book signing by transgender activist Miss Major Griffin Gracie. The event is free, and it's open to the public.